Good morning, and welcome everyone. I was so glad to hear about the spillage thing, because if any of you get up and walk out in the middle of my sermon, I'm just going to assume that you spilled your coffee and you're getting a towel, that I haven't offended you. I should start out this morning by saying that I failed. I failed Ashley, and that is a major sin. We're supposed to, as a teacher team, we're supposed to submit our sermon title to Ashley before Friday. And here it is Sunday. And until this very morning, I didn't have a sermon title. So this was going to be the sermon without a name. But then Catherine brought a piece of artwork. And the sermon title is The Elephant in the Room. So thank you, Catherine, for redeeming me. And welcome to the first of a two-week entr'acte, I think that's how you say it, a two-week mini-series between longer series, or series. It's a two-week invitation to a wrestling match. And by that, I don't mean WWF, but rather we as a teaching team wanted to have the opportunity to give you the opportunity to dive a little bit deeper into current topics of interest. Modern issues, if you will. So this week, I'm going to give my two cents worth, and next week, Catherine and Wayne will team teach on the same subject. And again, if you have any ideas for subjects for the teaching team, please feel free to pass them to any one of us. We like to hear from you. As most of you know, because most of you were here, we've just wrapped up a series on the book of Ephesians. And last week, Catherine Anderson invited a special guest to speak to us, Phoebe. And she brought us a letter from the Apostle Paul, and he talked about some of the things that he saw in Liminal Church. And I need to tell you, as one of the leadership team members and one of the pastors of this church, I was pretty excited to hear that Paul is pretty excited about what's going on here. When you get the stamp of approval from the Apostle Paul, that's a good thing. And especially to hear that he loved our mission, vision, and value statements, because our team worked really hard on those, so it was kind of nice to hear that he approves. Now, before you say, oh, that again, I just want to take a short minute, I promise it'll be short, to read just part of it, because it kind of gets us where we're going this morning. So here it is. Liminal Church of Ventura welcomes all who are interested in learning about Jesus, all who are growing in faith, and all who are questioning what faith means to them. Together we focus on what it means to love God and to love our neighbors in today's world. Our mission is to be transformed by God and respond with action that brings shalom to our world, our community, and to those around us. And our values our study, where we pursue Christ by wrestling with scriptures and questions of life and faith, and we believe that life is full of complex questions that take us way beyond the simple answers. We believe in spiritual formation. We believe in acceptance, that all are welcome here. We are committed to open and honest conversations. We believe in creativity and in collaboration. Now, hopefully that all sounds familiar to you. But the problem with mission, vision, and values to me is there's this niggling little background voice in my mind that causes me to keep thinking about them. And long after the series is over, I'm wondering, you know, what do they mean to Liminal Church? How are we doing? Do we really believe them? But one of the things that's been on my mind lately is doing a deeper dive into some of those words. For instance, these two, welcome and all. What does welcome mean? What makes me feel welcome? Well, in terms of church, for me, it looks like this. Welcoming place is a place where I can feel at home, a place where I can get to know you and have you get to know me, a place where I feel able to tell you who I really am without fear of being rejected. A welcoming place is one where I can use my gifts for the benefit of others and serve alongside others in any capacity for which I'm qualified and interested. A welcoming place is one where I have the freedom to wrestle with my beliefs and know that I will not be ridiculed or belittled for holding them while I wrestle. And a welcoming place is a place where I will be accepted if what I come to believe is different from what you come to believe as a result of my wrestling. A welcoming place is one where I get the idea that you like me and you accept me for who I am, not for who you think I ought to be. In short, saying that we're a welcoming place is more challenging than I thought. So today I'm not going to share a lot of theology, and I'm not going to share a lot of Bible verses. Instead, I'm going to share with you one woman's journey, mine, into what I believe Liminal Church is and how I feel about it. Pardon me. And I apologize for grabbing a paperclip. Never occurred to me you could put water in a mug, right? So this may not be the most comfortable sermon that I've ever done or that you've ever heard me deliver. In fact, there's going to be times where it may feel pretty awkward because I'm going to share raw Jenny with you rather than the put-together Jenny that I always hope that you think that I am. I'm sharing Jenny in process, and Jenny, who was for a whole long time, much too long, in the midst of wrestling. And that involves trusting you, each of you, those I know well and those I don't. It also involves knowing I may provoke questions in you or feelings that you may not want to feel. And I want to invite you to the after-service discussion group, both this week and next, when we'll continue the conversation, also with Catherine and Wayne. We'll have resources available, and we'll be starting in the weeks to come a book group that will explore some of these things more deeply and help us to wrestle gently in the context of a loving community. As long as I'm doing disclaimers, it seems like there's been a lot this morning, but, you know, here's another one. I'm going to be talking about church, the church, a lot. And when I am speaking of the church, I am not being liminal specific. In fact, a lot of what I'm going to say doesn't apply to liminal, but some of it does. I've been part of the church a lot for a long time. In fact, I've belonged to 12 churches and 9 denominations. Unless it sounds to you like I'm one of those church hoppers that as soon as the pastor says something that irritates me, I go, I'm not. 3 of the churches that I've been a part of have totaled over 50 years. So when I find one that fits, I tend to stick. And I've stuck with Ventura Vineyard and now Liminal Church for over 20 years. I like church. If I didn't, I'd sleep in on Sunday. And I would not attend a whole lot of meetings that seem to find their way onto my calendar. But church, any church, even our church, isn't perfect. Why? Because we're in it. And people aren't perfect. I hate to tell you, but you're not. We're growing, we're changing, and we're learning new things and new ways of being and feeling our way as we attempt to grasp who we are in Christ and how he wants us to be on our own and with one another. Churches from the first century and before have been on the same journey. There have been truly beautiful, God-reflecting, glorious moments, and then moments that were anything but that. For the most part, churches have seen the error of their ways, or are seeing it, albeit belatedly, and have made corrections. Now, when we do that at Liminal, it's a fairly easy process. It's even more easy when we're people. We repent, we turn, we change our ways. Liminal Church is in the enviable position of not being a part of a large denomination, so we have a little more flexibility. But when a large church that is part of a denomination does it, it's harder. It's like trying to change course midstream for a large ship. And of course, if it's a whole denomination, steering that behemoth is daunting. So when I point out some of the less fantastic things about church, I say it with all the grace and gentleness that I can. There's a lot of baby to be held in that bathwater. And I want to be real clear. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here this morning. I'd be home in my bunny slippers. I'd be sipping tea, reading a book, and trying to find an excuse for not gardening. Which brings us to pulling weeds. Now that's something. See, the church is something like a garden. It has strong plants, lovely shady trees, flowering bushes, and weeds. And sometimes the weeds get a good head start before they're noticed and dealt with. So that's enough disclaimers for one morning. Let's get back to welcoming. Want to play a game? I know we've got some gamers here. I'm not one of them, but today I will be. Okay, I want everybody to stand up. And by everybody, I mean everybody. Even those in the sound booth. Thank you. Okay, we're going to play a version of Never Have I Ever. But the difference here is I want you to stay standing until I get through the whole list, because there's the possibility that we have someone here who's guilty of a capital crime, and I don't want you to feel singled out. So I want you, oh capital crime person, to sit down at the same time with the guy who speeds on the freeway so that you won't feel, you know, shamed. So, got it? Everyone stay up until I finish the list, and then I will say we can all sit down together, or those of us who can remain standing shall do so. Got it? Everyone okay? All right. Never have I ever skipped church more than one Sunday in a quarter. Never have I ever read the Da Vinci Code or Harry Potter. Never have I ever smoked a cigarette. This one's only for women. Never have I ever taught or preached when men were in the audience. Never have I ever been divorced. Never have I ever drunk an alcoholic beverage. Never have I ever had sex outside of marriage. Never have I ever worn blue jeans or jeans of any color to church. Never have I ever had unruly or out of control children. Never have I ever believed that evolution could be true. Never have I ever yelled at my parents. Never have I ever read a version of the Bible other than King James. Okay? For those of you who can remain standing, please do so. The rest of you, please take a seat. Take a look around you while we're still seated, folks. There's your leadership team, remaining standing. Oops. Well, this seems sort of silly, doesn't it? But here's a shocker. In my lifetime, in my experience, and in the churches I have attended, which have all been fine churches, I have personally known someone who was either asked to leave the church, asked to step down from ministry, or were excluded from serving on ministry because he or she did something that fell on that list. And that thing fell against the church's mission, vision, and values. Thankfully, in almost all cases, most mainline churches have backed down from those stances. Because you know what? The purpose of the church is to let people in, not to keep them out. And a welcoming church has its doors wide open. But there's something subtle in many welcoming churches, and it's called an asterisk. You know that little star thing that's over the number 8 on the typewriter keyboard if you're a typist? Goes like this. You're welcome to come and listen. We want you to come here. We want you to be here. But, asterisk, you can't be in leadership. Or you can't work with children. You can't lead a small group. You can't speak from the pulpit. You can't get married. Can't get baptized. Or. There's one thing that I left off the list, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. What does it mean when we at Liminal Church say we are welcoming to everyone? Does it mean everyone? Does it mean that we come, that we welcome those from the LGBT community? And if we do, how welcome is welcome? Where is our asterisk? I'm here today to share my journey along these lines. My name is Jenny Downing. My preferred pronouns are she and her. I've been married to Ben for 48 years this December. And I have been, for the most part of my life, squarely situated in a well-defined, well-defended religious bubble. There were clear lines of what was right, what was wrong, and cherry-picked verses to support each contention. And in my theology, for many of those years, being gay was wrong. But one day at work, about 15 years ago, I was talking to one of my staff members who happened to be a lesbian. She was going through some family issues, and she asked me if I went to church, and I said I did. She responded, "I wish I could go to church, but God will never accept me as a lesbian." Well, my theology stopped right there. I saw and I felt her pain, and I could not imagine that the God that I knew and loved would refuse to love this woman, that he would turn a deaf ear to her pain, that he would refuse to have a relationship with her unless she changed her ways. Have you ever had a time where you said something that you know didn't come from you? Because I was tongue-tied at that moment. I didn't know what to say. But I heard my tongue say this: don't ever mistake what the church says for what God would say. He not only would accept you, but he does. That fell out of my mouth before I knew if I believed it. But it made me think. And I think in that moment, God overrode my narrow theology, and he caused me to speak truth, even if I didn't know at the time whether I believed it or not. What would it be like to think that because of who you are, God could never love you? Think about that. What if God couldn't love you because you were a woman who happened to preach or teach? What if God couldn't love you because you were divorced? What if God couldn't love you because you had the occasional glass of wine? What if? Well, fortunately for us, he not only can love us, but he does, absolutely. So why doesn't the church? Ouch. As society has changed, the church has and is changing with respect to the LGBTQ community. Sadly, society is leading the charge as opposed to the church, and the church is playing catch-up. Slowly. And that's kind of sort of embarrassing to me. And what that has left is basically an unreached people group, in the broadest sense of the word. It's a group of dear souls, many of whom who have heard about the love of God in the community of believers, but who have never been able to experience it, or who assume it's not for them. Or if they have been brave enough to enter into the hallowed halls of the church, they do so incognito, hidden, not able to be their true selves. Try to imagine that for the moment. This isn't the first time the church has wrestled with fitting social norms around the unfathomable love of God. I took a class not too long ago about church history as it pertains to African Americans in the time of the Civil War. It was a fascinating class. And to grossly oversimplify, the issue was African American slaves wanted to go to church to worship God. White churches saw the need, but because of their own prejudices, were not willing to welcome them. So they compromised. Oh, you can come to church, but you need to have your own separate service. You can come to church, but, well, you can't serve in leadership. You can come to church, but please don't use our restrooms. You can worship God, but you need to do it by yourself. Looking at that point from in history, from our current standpoint, from our current perspective, it's pretty safe to say that we all agree that that's outrageously, horribly, unquestionably wrong, right? It struck me in the middle of that seminar, that's not very welcoming. As a matter of fact, it's not welcoming at all, and it certainly doesn't reflect the God who I know and love, and the God who knows and loves me. And it occurred to me then, a welcoming church with an asterisk is not a welcoming church. I'll just say it. So the leadership team of Liminal Church is a truly amazing group of people. And one of the most amazing things about them is we don't always agree on everything. So far, we've been able to come to a consensus on pretty much everything, but sometimes it takes some time and discussion to get there. The other truly amazing thing about the leadership team of Liminal Church is that those discussions have almost always been respectful, loving, open, listening, caring, and filled with grace. And having been involved in churches as long as I have been, I will say that is a rare commodity. Well, one of the things that we've wrestled with was, how welcoming are we going to be? Are we comfortable being another church that is welcome with an asterisk? Are we comfortable removing that asterisk, knowing that might be difficult for some of us, for some of you? But trusting that we can wrestle together while preserving that which is most important, our love for each other and the unity in believers. You will note that I said I took a class in church history and African Americans not too long ago. In fact, it was the end of last year. So I admit, I am a latecomer to this whole party. I was not one of those leading the charge, I'm sad to say. In fact, it took me some time to mull things over. I had decades of assumptions and presuppositions and blindness to overcome, and that didn't happen overnight. Everything I know about God leads me to believe that being an affirming church is what God would desire for a Liminal Church. However, everything I know about church in general leads me to believe that such a stance can be very difficult for some. It may take some time to fully embrace. So I dragged my feet a bit out of fear. Fear that some of you would be uncomfortable and might leave. That would break my heart. Fear that it could cause disunity in what we've worked so hard to foster unity. But I think my fear is a lack of trust. A lack of trust in God and a lack of trust in you. See, we love one another, and that love is large enough, I think, to incorporate differences of opinion, should they even exist. I've seen it in action, and it is truly a beautiful thing to behold. I have a sheet of paper that I'd like the ushers to pass out to you now, if they would. And while they're doing that, I'll continue. As a member of the leadership team, one who prays for discernment and God's direction for our church, I see clearly the direction and what is right for Liminal Church of Ventura. And that is to remove that asterisk. But I have to admit that my feelings for a while were still on the fence. Until there came a day when I thought, you know what? I know what's right. My feelings are just going to have to catch up. And the longer I've sat with this, the more comfortable I feel. So our leadership team has unanimously adopted the following statement that will soon, if it's not already there, be posted on our website. It's on the paper that you were just given. This is who we're called to be. One of the values of Liminal Church of Ventura is acceptance. We believe that intentionally welcoming and accepting all into the total life and ministry of the Liminal family is just one way of living out the mission, vision, and values of this church. In the desire to create a safe, nurturing space For all in this environment, we have decided to spell out exactly what we mean. We welcome all, including but not limited to persons of any age, color, ethnicity, gender identity and/or expression, sexual orientation, intellectual and physical ability, family configuration, social or economic circumstance, or mental health. All are invited to take part in every aspect of church life, including opportunities to serve, baptism, and marriage. Together, we will focus on what it means to love God and to love our neighbors in today's world. Together, we desire to be transformed by God and respond with action that brings shalom to our world, our community, and to those around us. I'm pretty proud of our church, I'll just say. Well, I invite you to read this statement over and over, to sit with it, because questions may surface. And I invite you to join us after the service for discussion this week, next week, or any time in the future. I invite you to check out resources it will offer on your own or join a book study when it starts. I process these things with a lot of people at this church and with others. And I've told you before, when I get input from people, I check out with people that I agree with and people that I know that I don't. And sometimes it's helpful for me to hear my thoughts echoed in the words of other people. And suddenly I think, ooh, I don't like it when it sounds like that. One friend asked me, and she is a dear friend. She thinks differently. She said, what if you're wrong? What if we're leading Liminal Church in the wrong direction? What if we've missed it? Well, honestly, I don't think we are. But what if? See, there's going to be a day where I come face to face with my Lord. And I believe I can confidently look him in the eye and say, opening our doors and our hearts and our lives and our ministry to the LGBTQ community seemed like the best way to show your love. To show the love of God to a population of lovely humans who long for it, who need it, who thirst for it. Seems like a Jesus-y thing to do. Jesus' arms are wide open. On the other hand, I don't think I would be able to be as comfortable looking Jesus in the eye and try to explain why I thought excluding the LGBTQ community was a good idea. I don't think I could do that. I hope you've heard my heart today, and I hope that you have the freedom to dialogue, to wrestle, to search, to argue, to study, and to think deeply about these things. There's grace for you to do that. If you identify as part of the LGBTQ community, I hope you've heard my heart as well. I hope you can see and that you do feel truly welcome in this place. But understand, we are set on this direction as a church, but newly so. We will make mistakes. Some of those mistakes will hurt you, and we're sorry for that. But we will learn from them. We hope and we trust that you will love us and that we will love you as Jesus does. I'd like to invite Jared and the band to come up now. And as they do, I want to end with my favorite prayer that I think encapsulates the heart of what I've been trying to say. And in fact, encapsulates the heart of who I'm trying to be. It's the prayer of St. Francis. It's on the other side of the sermon notes. Maybe you want to be that kind of person too. And if so, let's read it together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we're born to eternal life. Amen and amen.